Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. So today I'm talking with Lisa Johnson about the juicy topic of passive income and all things related to making money online. Now, Lisa is the go-to expert, one of my own mentors, and we're going to be talking about how she's made her own eight-figure business from scratch. And for those of you who might need to count up that amount using all of their fingers and toes, don't worry, because I had to as well. It's the equivalent of over £12 million worth of income in 5 years. And that is a lot of money. And Lisa's going to be sharing some of her tips on how you can also get started in this area. So thanks for joining us today, Lisa. Hello and welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. I don't think of myself as an eight-figure business because I think that means a year. I don't make 12 million a year.
No, but 5 years is just it's a phenomenal amount. And I can just imagine that my listeners are thinking, oh my God, how can I even start? And I think one of those things about passive income, you know, I'd like you just to start by telling our listeners what passive income actually is, because I think there are lots of common misconceptions around people saying, oh, passive income, it's not real. They become wary of it and it disconnects people from actually even looking at it. So if people have got that barrier, what is passive income? You are the expert to tell us that, Lisa.
I really wish the name was different. I wish it wasn't known as passive income, but I tried to change it to leveraged income and no one knew what I was talking about. So I had to change it back to passive income. So all it means based in its nuts and bolts is no longer trading time for money. So in a normal job, whatever we do, we normally do something. Let's say we're a person that helps with fitness, like a personal trainer. So we might go and help someone train for an hour and then we get paid for it. And then we go and help somebody else train for an hour and then we get paid for it. So every time what you're doing is you're trading your time to do something for money. Now, passive income is where that stops happening. You're no longer trading your time for money, but you are your knowledge for money. And that can happen in all sorts of different ways. You know, passive income can be anything from affiliate marketing to, you know, putting an online course out there to drop shipping to Bitcoin. There's like a million different things when it comes to passive income. But I think the easiest ways when people are just getting started in passive income is to think about things in the way of their knowledge. So what do you know that people will pay for? And how can you get it into their hands without having to literally sit there and tell them it and use your time to do it? And the best ways of doing that are things like courses, memberships, workshops, masterclasses. And that's kind of what I've done and what I teach.
Perfect. That's a really great intro into passive income. So Lisa, you didn't start doing passive income for sure. So could you give us a little bit of a background of your squiggly journey? Because I think when people listen, they think you just sort of fall out of school and you just start in these things, but it's never such a direct route. I love the squiggliness of everyone's journey. And I know that you've had a squiggly one like all of us. So tell us where you started and how you got to here.
Yeah, it's been very squiggly. So when I started, I left school at 16 with like hardly any qualifications and just...
I love hearing that. There's hope for everyone, and this is the important thing.
Yeah, and I must admit, at the time, I was worried about that because I'd worked hard in school, but I was bullied at school, and so that's why I left early. But it meant that I was like, how do I even get started? So I started just on an apprenticeship scheme where I was paid £35 a week to basically, you know, intern. And that's what I did. And then worked my way up a ladder, if you like, you know, office junior or admin assistant, and worked my way up to PA, and then jumped a few fields. I went into like the legal arena and the banking arena until I was a risk analyst in the investment bank. So I'd done all right, kind of thing. Like, I'd worked really hard to just keep climbing corporate ladders until I got to where I thought I wanted to be. And then, you know, wasn't really massively happy. I was earning decent money, you know, 60 grand, 70 grand. And that was a lot for where I come from. Like, I come from a council house background. Like, I hadn't seen that much money. And so felt like I'd done really well. But I was a bit like, it wasn't my life's passion. I was doing something to get paid. And then I got pregnant with twins. And it changed the game, because it wasn't like, I didn't ever expect to be a mother. It wasn't something that was on the cards, let alone there was two of them there. And so I was going through a divorce and thought, well, okay, I will have to just, you know, they'll just have to fit in with my life. And obviously kids don't fit in with anybody's life. They do whatever they want to do. And so I ended up leaving my job to get a job close to my home so that I could actually see them, because otherwise I was working on the hours not to see them. And it was in that job, I went right back down to a 20,000 a year job as a PA with two more mouths to feed. And it was in that job that I was like, okay, if I have to start again, how do I do things differently from last time? Because it took me years to work up to that. What can I do now to make more money? I was getting into such a lot of debt. And I thought, well, I'll start a business. But I didn't know anything about business. So I started a business as a wedding planner, made all the mistakes that you would make when starting a business. And at the end of the first year, I'd done lots of work and taken on lots of jobs, but I was being paid a pittance for it because I was just undercutting because I didn't know about business.
Can I just ask how you chose wedding planning? Because again, Coming from investment banking, that doesn't seem like a natural fit. Like, I moved from...
That's why. I think I wanted to show a bit more of it. I was so analytical and I wanted to do something more creative on the side. And I'm good at throwing parties. Like, I'm good at that. And so I thought, well, I can do... And also, it sounds glamorous. I've watched the films. I thought it was going to be like that. And it obviously, it isn't at all. You're on your feet for 48 hours every weekend. But yeah, it was... It was just something that I thought I could do. But it doesn't matter what you can do, because it's not so much the doing that's going to make you the money. It's the business sense. And I didn't have that. At that point, I didn't know anything about it. And so after the first year, like, okay, this isn't really working. I need to either learn about business or just quit. And I decided to just try and throw everything into learning about business, you know, for free. I didn't have any money. So I think I spent £5,000 and got myself into even more debt on a business course. But the rest of it was like every free webinar, every business book, all of that kind of thing. And then that turned the business around. Like, I implemented really quickly what I'd learned. I turned the business around and it became really successful. And in the 2 or 3 years after that, people just kept asking me how I'd done it. And I kept telling them, and I found that I really enjoy, you know, turning really jargon fueled complex business things into just easy, a bit like you. Like, I want everything to be simple for people so they can follow it. And so they did, and they followed it. And then I realized 5 years ago, I was still 30,000 in debt because I was still paying money off. The wedding business had done okay, but I was still paying off debt with it and living. And I thought, you know what? The thing that's going to be easier for me is to teach people how to make their businesses successful, because I know how to do that. It's easy for me to do that. And so that's what I started to do. I started Lisa Johnson Strategy just over five years ago. And this time I'd learned everything from all the mistakes and failures in the first business, in the wedding business. And so I was able to go, okay, well, I did this last time, so this time do this. And it worked. You know, within the first 6 months, we were earning, I say we, it was just me at the time. I was earning about 100,000 in profit. Within the first year, 220,000. Which was all very good, but I'd put myself back into a position where I was working all the hours and not seeing the kids again. And so I knew something had to change. I didn't want to just make money for the sake of making money. It needed to be so I could have a nicer life. So if it wasn't going to give me that, I would give up the money. I'd been able to pay off the debt then, you know, like I went from 30,000 in the first year in debt to no, you know, not having any debt in that first year, which is great. But I was like, if I'm going to make more money, it can't be like this. So I started looking at different income streams, different business models, and found passive income and spent over $150,000 just learning all I could about the different ways of doing different business models and then adding them in to the business. So, and it worked. Like by the end of the first year, obviously I'd made that $220,000, but I was working 60 to 80 hours a week. By the end of year two, I was working around 30 hours a month, but I was earning over $1 million.
Yeah, I think hours are one of those things that you can exchange when you become self-employed. You could exchange a 40-hour working week where you're paid on a salary to suddenly a 60 or an 80-hour week where you're working for yourself, and it just evaporates. You don't actually know where it goes. And one of the things that we're launching in our new Pocket PA is how many hours are you actually customer facing per week? Because if people are reaching for goals and things, they need to know how much time they're exchanging for it when they're in service-based industries. And I think that the minute you start working for yourself, you actually stop checking on the clock and you just lose track of all those things. And so the whole point is when you are self-employed that you have this freedom-based business. But if it's not giving you that freedom and it's not giving you that work-life balance with your loved ones and your friends, then what the heck was the point? Yes, the money is nice, but only up to a point. And I think that's something that has slowly, you know, certainly for you, you've realized the importance of, well, money doesn't change quality of life. And people get that mistaken, do you think?
Massively. And I think that people think success is financial. Success isn't just financial. This is one tiny part of what success and, you know, achieving something with your life is. Like for me, I think happiness, contentment, having freedom, spending time with family is worth so much more than money. And
can I just ask a question, though? Do you think that we're able to say that from a privileged position of actually having that money now that we've sort of made it or whatever it is that you say? Because when you're on the other side, you think that money gives you happiness. And I think that that's a misconception that people think when they are sort of on, yes, I don't want to say the breadline, but sort of when they're finding affordability and budgeting on everything, they believe that this panacea of a big bank account and having wealth is suddenly going to evaporate all of life's problems and make them happy. When in fact, I have found that that actually doesn't happen. And happiness comes from within in and from fulfillment and doing something purposeful. And if you can get that balance of doing something that is income producing, but it lights you up and fills your cup up, that is when you've got that ideal thing. And it's not just money and bank account.
It's not, but let's not, you know, yes, it gives you opportunities. Yes, it will take some of your worries away. It certainly did mine. I didn't have to worry about paying rent anymore and where my next meal was coming from. It definitely helped with that. But other problems, if you solve some problems, some other problems will crop up. Money gives you other problems. There are other things to worry about. And we can only say that when we've done it. Like I remember thinking, God, these people have it so easy. And they say that there's other problems and that the problems are just different. Give me those other problems. Like I'll be able to cope with them. And they do, to an extent, they are different problems. And some of them are easier, but there are also much harder ones. And I think that you can get addicted to, well, this is great. I can make a lot of money if I just work more. And I don't think that's what we should be doing, just working more to get more money. I think the first thing we need to look at is, what do I think success is? What do I think happiness is? Because, yeah, if you think happiness is making loads of money, you will change that view as soon as you start making loads of money. We're in a privileged position. We can say that and try and stop people making the mistakes we did of thinking that money is going to solve all the problems. Because when I look back now, you know, the times that I remember as the best in the last 5 years, they are not the times where I hit seven figures or, you know, where we did a 2.5 million launch. I barely remember those days. I know that they happened and that it was good, but I was so moving on to the next thing so quickly and to keep the momentum going that they aren't the bits I remember. I remember working with people in a room, struggling to get to that first six figures. And that's the nostalgia bit of me, remembers that as being fun. I remember when I was able to give some of that money to other people to change their life, like family members.
I remember helping a person make their first 5K and how excited she was. They're the things you're going to remember. Yes, you might remember some things that money have to do with it. So, for instance, I was able to take all of my friends on a yacht. I know I'll always remember that, but it isn't for how much that yacht cost. It's for the experience of being with all my friends for a week and not having to.
The memory making.
Yeah, these are the things you're going to remember, and you can get that without money. Money just makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that the journey is such an important part of it, because if you are not enjoying the journey, then it doesn't matter what the destination is, because the journey is the biggest part of it. And for me, it doesn't matter if I spend 10 minutes or 10 hours on my business. I'm very lucky to be able to be in that position because I'm my own boss. But for a lot of people, when they have to rock up at 9 a.m. or 8:30 every Monday morning and they hate what they do, it just makes me feel sad that people are thinking that that is their only option, when in fact there are so many other things that they could do. And just opening their eyes and exploring and investing in themselves, like you said, you spent 150,000. I've spent similar amounts, if not more, over all of my decades. I've got an extra decade, I think, on you than you. But you know, it is important to invest in yourself. You're the best person to be spending money on. You're going to get the return on your investment. You know how hard you're going to work if you've invested in yourself. So that's you know, sometimes people are nervous about putting into courses or those sorts of things. I certainly don't agree with, you know, shelf help, where you're always going on the next course, and never implementing, because that's pointless. But certainly strategic courses where you're going to soak up knowledge and you're going to implement things are vital. And I think that's one of the things that I've loved watching you do. You're such a great implementer, and you're such a strategist that is a visionary that sees things coming. And your latest course that you did, Visible, was just genius. And I just saw it and it was just so good. Every week I was just like waiting for each episode to come out. And, you know, it was 6 weeks and you did it every week. It just seemed like, you know, 7 days was so long to wait for the next thing, but then there were things to do in between. And I love that part about you, that you're such an action taker and you encourage that for people, because, you know, it's the same with Pocket PA. Download it, fine, or, you know, sign up to it, but if you're not freaking filling it in, what is the point?
Use it, right?
Yeah, use it.
With Visible, what we've decided to do to change the stakes a bit is Visible's coming out again next month, but we're doing it in an intensive way. So over 6 days, they have to do all of Visible live over 6 days. Because if we just sit and soak up knowledge and soak up knowledge, great. You will fill a load of notebooks that you'll put on your shelf. What we need to do is soak up that knowledge as quickly as possible and spend more time implementing than we took learning. Because the more action we take, the more things happen. Even if things we do the wrong thing, and action will always teach us something. And I think if more people did more actions, everyone would get to where they wanted to be quicker, whether those actions are wrong or right. Like, do some things to change things. I have a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, I'm not making the money I want to, or something like that. And I'll say, okay, well, you've known that for a year and yet you're doing the same thing every day that's giving you the same result every day, and yet you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to do the same thing knowing that you're going to get the same result. Change something, an action, any action, implement something differently to see if it changes one thing. That's all it's about, really.
It's an experiment, isn't it? It's not rocket science. Business is about making more money than you're actually spending. But when you spend the same amount as you're bringing in, there's not going to be any profit. You're not going to get into that wealth zone. So it is about, you know, trying things. And I think fear is a big factor. I know that for myself is a huge thing, and I still haven't quite worked out what holds me up on lots of things. I feel anxious and overwhelmed doing things and getting myself out there. But when you broke it all down in the Visible, it was just like actionable, tangible things that you can actually implement and do. It wasn't just sort of things like, oh, that's what other people do. It was like actually the steps. And that's what you're so good at drawing out and sharing with people. And I know your one-to-many course gives people that opportunity as well to do things in steps. And it also creates that supportive environment, because I think communities as well really enhances people's ability to take action. And I think you've really nailed that.
Because it's hard. Like, if somebody said to you, okay, go and make six figures, like go and do something that makes six figures, and you sort of know the kind of things that you need to do, your marketing and all of these different things, how overwhelming is that? Whereas if someone goes, this week, do this one thing, open a Facebook group. This week, do this one thing, let's work out your ideal client.
you suddenly, you've got to the six figures in tiny steps, but all of business is tiny steps. Business isn't complicated. People make it complicated. And so what we have to do is take away the complication and go, what steps do people take when they make money in business? Because we see lots of people that do, which means we all can. Because if one person can do something, everybody can do it. So then what we need to do is go, okay, let's just do the steps. One tiny thing at a time. Time's going to go by anyway. People go, yeah, but that's going to take ages. That time's going to go. If you don't do anything, you'll be in the exact same position after that time's gone as you are now. So you may as well do a step every day and see where you get to.
Yeah, I agree. And also just taking the jargon out of it and not using these complex words that a lot of, I don't want to say men because that's just a bit rude, but a lot of people that are higher up in business seem to think that it's necessary to use these acronyms and shortcuts and words that make those of us that don't know or they're not in the in crowd feel a little bit marginalized. Yeah, that it's not necessary.
They do it on purpose. Yeah, they do it on purpose. When I was in corporate, me and my now, she's actually my operations manager, Karen, for this business. We worked together in this office in corporate and we got so fed up of people using these jargon words that we decided to make one up to see if people would start using it, even though they didn't know what it meant. And we made up this word. We said, okay, what's the word that sounds a bit jargon? We said redwash. It's always a color, isn't it? Like blue sky thinking. We'd go red. Let's just redwash it. And in every meeting, we started to go, yeah, Kaz, let's just redwash that later. We'll just make up this term. So other people started using it. We hadn't even given it a meaning. It just shows people just want to sound like they know what they're talking about. Break all of that down and it's completely different.
Yeah, I think that's so funny. And also, you know, when you work for yourself, it can be very isolating. It's quite lonely. And it is nice to then come into a community of like-minded people that are all sort of doing their own thing. But you then feel collectively that you've got a community. And I think that that's really important. But could you just sort of summarize, what do you think is the right sort of personality fit for a self-employed business owner? Because for me, I know that you aren't going to be successful as a business owner if you aren't resourceful and you aren't an action taker. If you're somebody that expects things to be done, it's just not going to happen in a business of your own. So what would you identify as key traits that people need to have if they're thinking about becoming self-employed or having their own business?
I think there's one thing. I think most things you can get away with. You can be an introvert, you can be an extrovert, you can hate certain things in business. You cannot be so much of an action taker as long as you can push yourself every now and again. But there's one thing that you're going to need, and that is resilience. If you're not resilient, you will not make it as a business owner. There's no other way to say it, because business doesn't just come with a growth line that goes up. It is a roller coaster. You will be feeling on top of the world one minute, and then you will hate your business and your confidence will be on the floor the next minute, because that's what entrepreneurship is. It's all on you to try and test things and make things work. And that means there are going to be real rough periods. And if you're not resilient, if you can't fail 50 times and still get back up, I don't think that you'll make it, because you will fail 50 times. Everybody does. And it's only from those failures that you will learn how brilliantly you can do things. Like One to Many came from many failed things. You know, a £3.5 million launch that I did came from four failed launches that didn't bring me anywhere near what I wanted. Because I learn every time it goes wrong what to do to make it even better the next time. If we can't fail, we can't have those big successes, we'll always be mediocre.
People forget that though, don't they? They just say, oh, you're so lucky. And I just think, lucky, oh my God.
Everything you do turns to gold. I'm like, oh my God, if you'd just seen all the things that have gone wrong in this business.
The only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. And I just think people aren't sometimes prepared to put the effort in, or they're just not prepared to go that extra mile. And what do you think creates resilience? Do you think it's something that happens in childhood, or it can happen at any time? When can you become resilient?
I think it can happen at any time. I do think it comes with adversity. I think that that's why some of the biggest and the most well-known and the most quickly successful entrepreneurs have had issues in life, whether that be bullying or financial or even, you know, domestic abuse. Any kind of adversity will eventually
make you stronger in a way that you weren't before. And that strength might not show itself at all in your life, but when you have a business, it shows up, because a normal person, a person with no adversity that's never had any issues, might come across an obstacle in business and go, oh, well, I tried to make the business work. It didn't work. Oh, well, we'll quit. You don't do that when you've been through stuff already. You see an obstacle and you go, I've been through worse, or I've found a way round something before. I will find a way round or under or over or smash through it, but I will find a way to deal with this. And it makes you stronger because you've had to be. And I think that that's why, you know, people say don't use negativity in your life and forget all of the negative things that have happened. Don't forget them. Use them.
Yeah.
Use them to become who you want to be.
Use it to be your fuel. And I know another thing that people sometimes think that in business you have to either cut corners or undercut other people or whatever. And I know that one of the things that attracted me to you was that I felt we had a similar value about integrity, because you don't have to step on anyone else in order to shine your own light. There is enough room for everyone to be successful. And that's a really important message that I stand by. And I know that that's something that you have been sort of unpacking from the inside out, really, in your own industry, because with passive income, there comes, you know, charlatans and all sorts, just as there are in every industry. But for yours, it wasn't spoken about and integrity seemed to be sort of questionable. Is that something that you want to elaborate on?
Yeah, I still think it's questionable. There are lots of charlatans. There are lots of smoke and mirrors. There are people that will promise big things that they can't possibly promise. And there are ways to make money doing things that are really questionable and shady. And those things will always be there. And you're right, in every industry. But this industry, the online industry, is unregulated. And that's the issue. When something's unregulated, you can do anything and get away with it. Whether you can doesn't mean you should. And I think that, I've done my fair share of kind of shouting about how I think that you can do things without doing any of those things. And in fact, you know, by realizing that your competition is your friend, you both end up with more money anyway, because you'll collaborate and you'll do things and you'll help each other out. And by being in integrity, you can make a lot of money. I'm proof of that. And still sleep at night. You don't have to choose one or the other. And I've had clients that have said to me, well, I know that to make a lot of money, I have to do some things that I won't feel great about. And they don't have to. They've just been taught that they do. There are other ways. And I just want to be that kind of beacon out there that goes, look at me, I'm not doing those ways. And I'm still making money, so that people realize there is another way to do things.
I think transparency is so important, because with transparency, you get authenticity and you get trust. And if you don't like what you see, then it's visible straight away. And, you know, not everyone is going to like us, and that's totally fine. And, you know, you don't need everyone to like us. We only need to attract the people that have the similar energy for us, because those are the people that are going to get on with what we're offering. So I think that's really vital. So, Lisa, you've launched lots of different things, and I know that you're sort of in a launch phase. What are the most exciting things that you've got coming up in your business that you'd like to share with us?
So many things are happening. I mean, my most exciting thing right now is we've just gone on to pre-order for my book. My book is coming out with Hodder in January, and we've just done a pre-launch so people can pre-order the book. And, you know, it straight away went to number one in all the different charts in Amazon before it's even out. And so it's really exciting for me. I've always wanted, since I was six, to write a book and to have a book on a shelf. And so to finally see it happening is brilliant. So that's my most exciting thing. But we've got new things coming out. In January, we have a huge thing that I can't really talk about yet that is coming out that is going to help so many more people get online and start making more money. And you know, people who have never maybe even been in business before. So yeah, I'm excited about all of the things.
Thank you so much, Lisa. That's so good. Thanks for sharing all of that. So if our listeners would like to find out more about you and connect, where is the best place for them to go to find you?
The easiest thing is go onto Instagram at Lisa Johnson Strategist, where I hang out there. You'll see a very uncurated feed of me doing all sorts of things. And if you want to, you know, learn more about passive income, go on to lisajohnson.com. I've got a load of free stuff for you in there. Just go onto the tab that says freebies and you can have
anything you want from in there.
Perfect. Thank you. What a great Earn More, Stress Less episode this week, hearing from Lisa today. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And until next time, I will catch up with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.